all have questions. Questions like, why is it called a building if it's already built? Why is there no egg in eggplant? And do penguins have knees? But some questions are more important than others. This past Easter, we gave a survey to find your most asked questions. Questions like, how do I hear God's voice? How can I deal with difficult people? What does the Bible say about forgiveness and heaven? And what's the answer for all of my stress? Every week, we're going to answer your most asked questions and discover God's best plan, because you asked for it.
All right. I'm loving this series, You Asked For It. And before we give you this final installment of this series, let me just say a heartfelt welcome to all of you to this series, You Asked For It, and also to all those that are watching online. Come on, give it up to those that are watching online. We welcome you today. And also, if you're here, you could check in on Facebook if you want to and just let everybody know what's happening. And just to kind of give you a sort of a kind of a little insight to how God's using this technology, Pastor Steve Guptill, who brought a phenomenal message during this series, shared with me that he had a coworker from his place of work, Duke Energy, who was actually in Ecuador, if I got this right, at a hotel by a pool, and he was watching Pastor Steve ministering live online from Ecuador. So you never know who's tuning in. So from around the world, we welcome you to Cross Point today. We're glad to have you with us. There you go. So, but it is really amazing how God's using technology and just being able to get the word outside of these four walls. And so I want to just say that we have a special treat in store for you today as we put in place this final installment from our series, You Asked For It. This is a series that it was based upon your questions, and we're just answering those, addressing those with the Word of God. And so if you don't like any of the answers, well, I'm sorry, but you asked for it, okay? But it's been a great time together. It seems to be that we always have this topic of stress come up, and so we addressed that in week number one. And then we talked about biblical parenting, how to raise our children according to the Word of God. Then the next week, one of my kids brought the word understanding your Bible in week number three. And then the next week, we had amazing truth brought to us by Pastor Steve Guptill on miracles, that God of the Bible actually does miracles still today. And we've talked about addictions and how that God can set you free from addictions. Any of these messages you can hear online, go to crosspointworshipcenter.com. They're archived there. You can listen to those again. Also, you can download the notes and follow along as well. So if you missed any of those, I encourage you to go back and just glean from that. Well, today is week number six of this six-part series, and a wonderful message that's going to be brought about our purpose, and that you ask about, you know, help me find and discover my purpose. And I couldn't think of anybody better to bring this message today than our Dream Team coordinator, Karen Stone. She's going to be bringing the message today. And before she comes, I just want to say how much I value and appreciate Karen and her ministry around her. I know many of you do appreciate the level of excellence that she brings to our church. And that's actually one of our goals, is to have a ministry of excellence. I believe that Jesus was authentic. He was enjoyable. But one thing that he was powerful, and he did things well. I think what we've come to understand is when you do things with excellence, it causes people to relax and be comfortable. And when they're comfortable, they can receive. Okay, so it's not awkward. That's why you go to a certain grocery store, not necessarily for the prices, but it's presented in such a way you can be comfortable with it and you can enjoy it. Well, that's kind of our goal around here. And I tell you, that's an area that really, Karen, she just really excels in, and appreciate her level of commitment to our church. She's just committed to God, and she's committed to the house. And she's committed to helping you discover your purpose. And so today, without further ado, I want you guys to come on, give a heartfelt welcome to Karen Stone as she comes to bring the message today. Come on.
Thank you. All right. Well, you guys just sit back and relax. Like Pastor said, you know, I got enough butterflies up here for everybody. So We don't have to worry about that part. You guys just sit back and enjoy. You know, Pastor says, welcome to the world. That adds just another layer of nervousness to that. But welcome to part six. We are just so incredibly grateful that you guys have been on this journey with us. And I don't know about you, but it has been an incredible 6 weeks up to this point. These last five sessions have just been awesome. And we have heard answers about our questions, about things that are deep in our heart. And so today, I hope that I'm able just to help you guys in when we talk about finding my purpose and answering that question. Like Pastor said, you asked for it, so here we go. And before we get started, I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to tell him you're going to learn something. Tell him. Go ahead. Now, I want you to look right back at him, and I want you to say, it's about time. It's about time. So we're going to learn something today. And when we look at the topic of purpose, you know, I was thinking about that and praying about it. And really in my heart, you know, it's something that we all ask. And if we're honest, it's something that is deep in our heart that we're wondering about. You know, the creator of the universe created me in his image. And why am I here? And if we're really, really honest with ourselves today, we're going to sit back and we're going to say, yes, I have those questions in my life. I want to know what I'm here for and why God put me here. And I want to know that I'm doing what God has called me here to do. So when we look at life, there are really two challenges that we face in life. And if we face these challenges well, we're going to be fulfilled. And we are going to be able to make a difference in this life. So when we look at these challenges and we talk about purpose, the first challenge that I want you to realize, and this is in your notes, is to find ourselves. So the first challenge is, how do we find ourselves? And that really speaks to when we actually discover our purpose. And when we realize what the creator of the universe created us to do, it gives us that sense of purpose. It is our mooring. It really keeps us grounded in life. And then the second challenge is to lose ourselves. So when our purpose becomes bigger than us, that's when we begin to lose ourselves in Christ. And you know, it's really sad, but some people, they don't ever figure out either one of these challenges. They never find themselves, and then they never lose themselves. And then some people, they find themselves, and they figure out their purpose and why they're here, but they never lose themselves in that purpose. It never becomes bigger than them and lose themselves in that purpose. And then there are very few that actually do both. They find their purpose and then they lose themselves within that purpose. And how incredible when we're able to do that, because when our purpose is bigger than us, then we lose us in other people. And we lose ourselves in what God wants us to do and fulfill in life. And this principle of losing and finding, Jesus taught us about it in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. It says, then Jesus called the crowd and his disciples to him. If any of you want to come to me, he told them, you must forget yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. For if you want to save your own life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for me and the gospel, you will save it. What a powerful scripture that is. And Jesus is just re-emphasizing in us that to find ourselves, We have to lose ourselves in our purpose. And then we're going to find who we are in Christ. And we are going to be able to make a difference through him and what he wants to accomplish through our life. So with that, we have to ask ourselves two questions when we're looking at how do we find ourselves. And the first question is, how do we find ourselves? And we find ourselves when we discover our purpose. So when you discover why God has you here, that's one step to being able to really and truly find yourselves in Christ. And, you know, some scriptures just really speak to your heart. And, you know, the scripture that I'm going to share with you, I've read it, I've quoted it, I've told it to people many times. But as I was reading through the scripture again, it just spoke. And, you know, we say that the word of God is powerful and living, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's what we get when we read the scriptures and we let it speak to our heart. So let's look at Jeremiah 29 and 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." What a powerful scripture that is. And this morning, let's just think about those words that Jesus spoke. "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you." And stop and think, when you woke up this morning, God had thoughts about you. When you woke up this morning, he said, "I have a plan for you, and I want to fulfill that through you today." You know, I was studying and going over my notes and looking at things last night, and Pastor sent me a text, and he said, "We're praying for you. We know you're going to do a great job tomorrow." And you know, I thought about that text and I was like, you know, that really meant a lot to me, that Pastor and Kim are praying for me. They're going to the throne of grace on my behalf so that I can share what God has put on my heart with you. And if you think about that, God is texting each one of you this morning. And he's telling you, "Guys, I have thoughts and plans for you that you can't even imagine. I'm going to do things through you that you could never even think about." Let that sink into your heart. I'm telling you what, when I'm at work and Dwayne just sends me a text, Dwayne is my husband, for those of you that don't know, and he says, "Hey, I love you. I hope you have a great day." That means a lot to me. Well, God's doing that every single day. Every moment, you are in his thoughts. And he wants to speak to you. He wants to use you. But we have to be willing, don't we? We have to be the person who sets our plans and thoughts aside and says, "God, what are your thoughts? What are your plans today? I want to follow your lead. I want to do what you want me to do today, because that's the most important thing." And when we're doing that, guess what? We're finding out our purpose. We're being taught what God has created us to do. So right now, I want you to look at your neighbor, and I want you to say, "God's thinking about you," with a big smile on your face. "God's thinking about you." And now, turn right back to him and say, "And he has plans for you." Tell him. He has plans for you. That's right. He does. Now, I want you to look back at him and say, "And I wish you would figure it out. Wish you would just figure it out." We all do, don't we? We wish we would figure it out. We wish that we would know. And so today, when we're looking at finding our purpose, let's look at two questions that's going to help us find our purpose. And number one, what am I passionate about? Think about that. What are you passionate about? Because you know what? When you're passionate about something, you're going to go at it with all that's in you, aren't you? It is the great energizer. That's one thing that I know about passion. It is going to energize you, and it's going to set you on a path. You know, we look at people, and sometimes we categorize people into high-energy people, low-energy people. Well, you know what? There's no such thing. High-energy people, they have passion, don't they? They are ready to take on the world and go get it, aren't they? They have that energy that comes deep within. And those low-energy people, they're just like, well, yeah, I'm here. Whew, okay, let's get this over with. Yeah. They're dead. They don't even know it. They're just walking around thinking, okay, I'm here. They're not trying to find that passion that's deep inside of them. They're not letting it come out and be excited. You know, one thing about this worship team up here, they are passionate about leading you in worship. And it's exciting, and it's something that we can get excited about. But when we talk about passion, we have to say that it's not always leads us to our purpose. A lot of times it does. Passion and purpose go together, but that's not always the case. Anybody ever heard American Idol tryouts? Yeah. Those people are passionate. They grab that microphone, they are up there, and they're just belting out that badness, aren't they? Woo! And you look at that TV screen and you're like, where's the remote? I need mute. Oh, you know, God, just strike them with speechlessness. Strike me with deafness. Do something. Because these people are bad. But they have passion, don't they? Wow. They're up there and they're giving it all they've got. Whew. But you look at that and you're thinking, where are these people's friends? Seriously, sometimes you just want to set them down, get you a bottle of water and say, hello, my name's Karen. I'm your friend. And I just want you to know, you can't sing. You know, you just want to set them down and say, hey, I don't think this is for you. Let's find something you're good at. You know, so passion and what you're good at may not always go together. But for the most part, it's going to tell you where your purpose is. And what I do know is that passion will give you that energy. But passion also sets us apart from others. It sets us to a place where people are going to notice your passion. Good or bad, but they're going to know that you're passionate about what you do. You know, I joke about the butterflies, but yes, I get butterflies every time I get up here. But you know what? God is speaking through me, and if he gives me an opportunity to share his word with people, then I'm going to take that opportunity, and I'm going to be passionate about what God wants to tell you today. And it's going to set us apart. It's going to set us above other people. And I have a story. I was in elementary school, little taught, and in my church at the time, they were doing a fundraiser. And it was actually open to the adults to do this fundraiser, and the prize was that the pastor and his wife were going to take you out to dinner, and you got to pick any restaurant you wanted to go to. Well, I'm telling you what, when I heard about that fundraiser and that dinner, I was passionate about getting some people to donate to the church, let me tell you. So I was out there, I was calling everybody I knew. Now, mind you, I'm probably 7 or 8 at the time. It's not a lot of people. But I was passionate. I was on the phone. I was like, because this was before texting and computers and all of that. No, don't look that old, but I am. So anyway, I was passionate about getting that money. I wanted that dinner. I wanted that pastor and his wife to take me for dinner. And I wanted to pick the place, because when you're a kid, you don't always get to pick the place. So I was going to get the chance to pick the place that I got to eat. And I was excited. I was excited, and I worked hard. But you know what? I was up against all those adults that have many years, many more friends, many more family members than I had. And you know what? I came in second. I didn't come in first. But my passion was honored, because the lady who won first place invited me to go on the dinner with her. So I still got to go on the dinner. But you know what? When you think back about these stories, I would have never been invited to that dinner had I not had passion for what I was doing. So we've got to have that passion inside of us. It's important that we do that. And when we have that passion, it's going to take us to places that we've never been before. When we have passion, it may be unreasonable, it may be impossible, but passion will get us there. Passion will take us to places that we never thought we could go. Passion, we need that passion. Now I want to talk about dreams and passion. And you know, when you think about it, you think, well, everybody has a dream. But what I've found is not everybody has a big dream for themselves. And they may not have a big dream for themselves because God has placed them there for someone else. And when you look at this church, when I look at the people and the people who are making church happen, you know what? God has placed a purpose and a dream in us to support our pastor who has a big dream for this area. You know, when God planted this church through Pastor Theron and Kim, he put a dream inside of them. I've heard him talk about this dream where he was placed here across the college, from the college, for a purpose. He was placed in this neighborhood for a purpose. And you know what? We're seeing things happen. We're seeing things happen in our neighborhood because we're getting to reach out. We're seeing things happen across the street because we're getting to reach out. And sometimes our dreams and our purpose are for a bigger dream and a bigger purpose than ourselves. And so whatever God has put in your heart to do is going to fulfill the dream that God has to fulfill. So there are biblical examples of this. You know, this is something that Jesus taught us in the scriptures. And if you look at the fishermen at Galilee, Jesus came to them and he said, "Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men." Jesus gave them a dream that they didn't have before. Jesus gave them a purpose to fulfill that they didn't have. And he's going to do the same for us. He's going to put passion, and he's going to put purpose, and he's going to put dreams inside of us that we're going to be able to fulfill, because it's what God wants to do through us. Every great person is great because other people are surrounding them. And you know what? Pastor has said it here before. Teamwork makes the dream work. And it does. If you don't have team behind you, those big dreams can't be accomplished. It takes a group of people. You know what? It takes this whole church to fulfill the dream that God placed in Pastor Theron's heart. And when we work together, it's going to make that dream work. And we are going to see great and mighty things happen. Another example in the Bible, and I love this example, is Jonathan and David. You know, I kind of think about Jonathan. He was this heir to the throne. Saul was his father, and Saul was the king of Israel. And you know what? He was heir to that throne. But you know what? When he met David, he knew that David was the anointed king. And he said, you know what? Yep, I'm heir to that throne, but David is the anointed one. Instead of me trying to fight for that throne, I'm going to be a king maker. And he stepped behind David and he helped him to become the king of Israel. And so when we see that not all of us have the big dream, but we have a dream to fulfill the bigger dream that God is creating and putting in that. And when I think about Jonathan and David, I think about Mr. and Mrs. Graham. I'm sure you all are familiar with Mr. Graham and just the preaching that he did around the world. And Mrs. Graham, she used to always say, when I was a teenager, I thought, I'm going to Tibet, I'm going to be a missionary, and I'm going to win those people to Christ. And then she went to Wheaton, and she met Mr. Graham, this tall, handsome fella that had a dream. And God had placed a huge dream inside of him to preach to the nations. And you know what? God put inside of her a dream to be behind him and to help him fulfill the dream that God gave him. And you know what? It takes a lot of courage and a lot of passion for you to lay aside what you think your dream is to help fulfill what God is wanting to do. And she laid that down. She laid down what she thought in her mind was her purpose, when in actuality, God had a man for her to support. And because she was faithful with the children, she built a house for them, and she was faithful in doing what God had called her to do. And it freed Mr. Graham up to go around the world. And we've seen millions of people come to know Christ because of his ministry. But you know what? What if she hadn't done that? Would his ministry have been as impactful as it was? It took teamwork to make that dream work. And it does the same for us. We need to have that. And then the second thing in finding our purpose, the second question we have to ask ourselves is, what are my gifts? What am I good at? What has God placed inside of me that will help me in fulfilling that purpose? And when you find your giftings, you will be good at it. I'm going to tell you, you will really be good at that. You're going to be naturally good at it. It's not going to take much effort for you to do that. And then when you find your gift, you're going to have an opportunity to use it. And I like to take a moment at this time. You know, a lot of times we have reservations. An opportunity presents itself, and we think, well, I really can't do that. I've had these thoughts. Who am I to stand up here? I'm nobody. But God is going to give you opportunities to use your giftings and to do what he's called you to do. And I am telling you what, we have to step through the door and use those giftings, because that's what's going to help us achieve our purpose. The third thing, you will be energized by it. There's that energy again. You are going to be energized when you are operating in your giftings. That's why this praise team up here is so passionate, because they are using giftings that God has given them, and they're energized by that. They want you to get the energy and be passionate and out there for Christ. You know, when Dwayne and I started doing financial peace, I thought when we first took the class, I'm not a numbers person. And I'm like, oh boy, this is gonna be boring. I don't think we can do this, you know. But I'm telling you what, when God puts it in you to do it, you are gonna have an energy that's beyond anything that you could ever think. And you know what? When we do those classes, I've got the table set up. I've got my refreshments out. If anybody knows me, has been around me, I like to decorate. I like to get stuff set out. That's what I'm good at. That's a gift that God's placed inside of me. So I'm preparing. I've got everything set up for them when they come in and ready so that they can learn about what God says about their finances. You know, I'm energized by that. I'm energized with the opportunity to share what God wants me to share. And it comes across. People are going to recognize that in you. And they're going to see that this is something that God has called you to do. And then the last thing, you're going to have capacity to develop that gift. You will really get good at what you're gifted at if you put the time and effort into it. You're going to be naturally good, but when you start developing those gifts and you start really honing in on what God has called you and gifted you to do, you're really going to get good at it. And you know what? It doesn't take much effort when you enjoy what you're doing. You know, when you love what you do, you're going to read everything you can read about it. You're going to go and look at what other people are doing. You're going to say, help me. I need a mentor in this area. I really want to get good at what God has called me to do. And you're going to have that capacity because it's in you. It's in you to do. And you're really going to get good at that. Then the second question we have to ask ourselves is this. How do we lose ourselves? Now that we've found our purpose, we've found ourselves, how do we get lost in that? Because that's the second part. We can't just do one. We need to do the other part too. When you give your purpose to something bigger than you, that is when you begin to lose yourself in your purpose. When you are bigger than your purpose, you have a career. So when you or I, when we in ourselves become bigger than our purpose, we've created a career for ourselves. And that can be very empty, to be honest. When you have a career, you're looking forward to retirement. Me and my coworker used to joke all the time, boy, we should have retired first, work later. My goodness, I'm young. I need to get out there and enjoy life. But when you have a career, that's what you're thinking about. You're thinking about retirement. You're not thinking about, how do I keep fulfilling my purpose? You know? We think about that. But when your calling is bigger than you, I'm sorry, when your purpose is bigger than you, you have a calling. And you know, I work for a nonprofit, a religious organization, and we emphasize, we want people there who don't have a career. They have a calling to be there. Because when you have a calling, that purpose is way bigger than you. And you dive into that purpose and you get lost in it. And it becomes a joy to serve. It becomes something that you look forward to doing. I was telling the huddle this morning, I can't believe that we get to come here every week and serve the Lord God Almighty. We get to do this. This is a calling from God. It's bigger than any of us. It's bigger than what we can do on our own. It's bigger. And I was hearing John Maxwell teach about this very thing. And he says there's four steps. This isn't in your notes, but if you want to write it down, it's good stuff. There's four steps that he's found in losing himself in his purpose. And the first step is you begin at, I just want to make a difference. And if I had the opportunity to talk with each one of you individually, I bet at some point in our conversation, it would come down to the fact that I just want to make a difference. I want to do something that makes a difference. You know, we talk about that in our growth track. We talk about that in our huddle. We just want to make a difference today. And so that's our starting point. But then we got to add to that. And the second step is, I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference. So when there's an eternal factor built into what you're doing, it is going to make a difference. And we're going to see that what we're doing is making a difference. That's when you start to lose yourself in it. And then three, I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference with people that make a difference. And we just celebrated our dream team, and I'm telling you what, these people are here to make a difference at Crosspoint. Let's give it up, because you guys are here to make a difference. So we need people. We can't do this alone. We need people surrounding us and helping us to make a difference. And then the last part is, I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference with people who make a difference at a time when it makes a difference. You know, Esther said, I was placed here for such a time as this. And you know what? Each one of you are sitting here for such a time as this. It's a time that makes a difference. God's going to place you there at the right time so that you can make an impact and you can make a difference in this world. And that's how we get lost in our calling, in our purpose. We just get lost in it. Because it's bigger than us. It's bigger than what we do. And so he was asked at one point when he was sharing all of this, John Maxwell was, what's the difference between success and significance? And this is what he said. Success is when I add value to myself. So success is adding value to yourself. And that is where we find ourselves, right? But if we go a next step, significance is when I add value to others. So we want to move from just adding value to us to where we're adding value to others. Because that's what it's about. That's what it's about. That's what your purpose is about, is to pour in to other people and to love on them. You know, Mr. Graham, he is just a role model for me. I look at it and I'm like, man, when I grow up, I want to be like him, you know? And he didn't want to retire. He hasn't retired. He's still an active employee, as a matter of fact. But you know why he never wanted to retire? Because he had found his purpose, he had found himself, and then he got lost in it. And because he was pouring into other people, it's not something you want to give up. It's not something you want to quit, because you have found your purpose, you found your why. And when you find your why, you find your purpose and your calling in Christ. And we were approaching his 95th birthday. He's like, I want to preach. I want to preach again. I just want to preach one more time. And he was too weak to stand up. So they got creative. And I don't know, some of you may have seen the My Hope video where Mr. Graham was able to preach again. What a beautiful thing. Because he had found his purpose and his call. You know, John Maxwell also tells a story about his dad. And several years ago, he was 92 years old. His wife had just passed away. And his brother and John had actually said, you know, Dad, let's get you into a retirement community. They're building one close to you. You'll have people there to care for you and all of that. And let's get you into this place. And he was like, okay, let's do that. So they were starting the process, got that all started, and he was having lunch with his dad one day, and his dad said, guess what, son? I get to be the first one to move into the retirement community. And he was like, okay, Dad, that's great. Why do you want to be the first one there? He said, well, son, there's going to be a bunch of old people coming to this place. And they're going to be scared. And they're going to be away from home. And they've never been away from home. And I want to be the first one there. I want to welcome them and say, hey, my name's Melvin Maxwell, and I'm your friend, and we're going to have a good time, and this is going to be exciting. He wanted to encourage them. He's 92. Old people coming. So he's found his purpose. And while he was there, he decided that, well, I'm going to be the chaplain of this place. Nobody voted him in. He just raised his hand and volunteered and said, I'm going to be the chaplain of this place. And so he found a large room in that hall, and he had a place for them to have a service. And he had his first service and filled it up. And he was like, oh, this is great. So he had to go to two services on Sunday. And so he gets to his second service, and it's filling up. And he has lunch with John, and he says, son, we got a real problem. I'm full in the first service. I'm full in the second service. I'm looking into satellites. I'm going to do satellites. He's 92. He's found his purpose. He's looking into satellites. Going to pipe it into the rooms, I guess. But he's found his purpose in that. And he said, John Maxwell, he has a coaching company, and he was going to be preaching one Sunday. And he was having lunch again with his dad, and he said, Dad, I'd love for you to come and talk to these coaches. I'm going to be speaking to them. And he said, son, I'd love to, but I have two services on Sunday. I can't possibly come. And he said, well, Dad, we'll get you there early. You can speak from 8 to 8:30. Your first service is at 9, your second service is at 11, you'll be good. And he said, he started laughing, and he was looked over at his new kind of wife, she's an 82-year-old chick, and says, Helen, won't this be great? I get to speak 3 times on Sunday. He's 92. He has found his purpose in life. And what a joy that is, if we could be that passionate and that excited about what God's called us to do, and we're fulfilling that. But it all comes back to this. Like I said at the beginning, God has thoughts about you. God's thinking about you right now. And he has plans for you. And I want you to know that his plans for you are bigger than you. And he wants you to find those plans. He wants you to find what he's doing inside of you. And then he wants you to fulfill it. And when you get lost in that calling, and you're seeing God move, there's nothing more fulfilling than that. There's nothing that makes you feel better on the inside than to know what God's placed you here to do, and then to do it, and to get lost in it. So I want to turn it back over to Pastor in a few minutes, but I want you guys to close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. There are some of you here today that you're hearing about purpose and a God who has thoughts and plans for you. And you may say, I don't even know this God that you're talking about. You may say, I don't understand what you've spoke about this morning. The greatest purpose that God, the creator of the universe, who's created you in his image, wants you to know is to know him. That is the greatest purpose, is that he just wants you to know him. And so today, with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, if you want to know this God that I've spoken about today, I just want you to lift your hand. If you want to go deeper into the purpose and the plan that God has for you, I just want you to raise your hands. No one's looking around. It's just me. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Hands are going up. You know what? I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I'm just helping you with the words. I want you to say this prayer from your heart and mean it today. If you raised your hand, or if you didn't, and you know you need to pray this prayer, I want you to pray it with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for having thoughts about me, for having plans for me. Today, I want to know you. I want to start that relationship with you. So I ask you to come into my heart. Today, I give you my life. Use me. God, I thank you that you will come in and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.